Live from NPR News, I'm Nora Rahm. Johnson & Johnson says it plans to apply soon for the emergency use of its vaccine against COVID-19, saying it's 66% effective overall at preventing moderate illness and more protective against the most serious symptoms. The nation's leading infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, says although the new vaccine may be less effective than others already in use, it has some benefits.
This is a single-shot vaccine in which you start to see efficacy anywhere from 7 to 10 days following the first and only shot. It is very, very good with regard to cold chain requirements, namely requiring only a refrigerator. It is inexpensive, and the company is capable of making doses in the numbers of billions.
At a briefing at the White House yesterday, Fauci also said testing is underway on vaccines for children, and he hopes children will be able to be vaccinated by late spring or early summer. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen warns of more economic pain ahead for both families and businesses. NPR's Scott Horsley reports Yellen met with President Biden yesterday to discuss the continuing threat to the economy posed by the coronavirus pandemic.
Nervous consumers dialed back their spending last month as COVID-19 cases rose. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says without more help from the government, more businesses are likely to fail and more families will struggle to keep food on the table and a roof over their heads.
We need to act now. And the benefits of acting now and acting big will far outweigh the costs in the long run.
New figures out from the Commerce Department show personal income actually rose last month, thanks in part to increased unemployment benefits. Millions of people are now relying on extended jobless aid, which is set to expire in mid-March. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
Today marks the one-year anniversary of the World Health Organization officially declaring the coronavirus outbreak an international emergency. NPR's Jason Bobian reports.
2 weeks before COVID-19 had even officially been named COVID-19, the World Health Organization declared that a new respiratory disease spreading rapidly in China was a public health emergency of international concern. This is the WHO's highest alert for a disease outbreak and an official recognition that the novel coronavirus posed a threat to the entire world. At that point, China had reported nearly 8,000 cases and was in the midst of building massive new hospitals to treat patients on the outskirts of Wuhan. Only 82 cases had been identified outside of China. Now, on the one-year anniversary of that declaration, there have been more than 100 million cases reported worldwide. Jason Bobian, NPR News.
This is NPR News. Experts from the World Health Organization are in Wuhan, China, to investigate the origins of COVID-19. They met face-to-face yesterday for the first time with Chinese scientists at a hospital that was an early site of the outbreak. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has announced new, tougher travel restrictions because of the pandemic. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, the latest measures will hit international travelers in their wallets.
Trudeau says now is not the time to be flying, and to drive that message home, his government and the airlines have agreed to cancel flights to popular destinations in the Caribbean and Mexico. In addition, all international travelers must test for COVID-19 on arrival and pay for their own isolation costs. That means people arriving in Canada will have to quarantine in an approved hotel for up to 3 days at their own expense. Those who test positive will be isolated in government-designated facilities. Violators could end up with 6 months in jail and or up to $750,000 in fines. Trudeau says the new restrictions are meant to discourage non-essential travel and curb the speed at which more infectious variants of the coronavirus are spreading in Canada. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
A Russian court yesterday ordered that several allies of jailed Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny, including his brother, be placed under house arrest. It's part of a crackdown after tens of thousands of people protested in Russia last weekend, demanding Navalny be released. More protests are planned tomorrow. Navalny has been detained since January 17th when he returned to Russia after recovering in Germany from nerve agent poisoning. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News.